This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's welcome to the program Dr. Benjamin Barber. His new book is Consumed, How Markets Corrupt Children, Infantilize Adults, and Swallow Citizens Whole. Dr. Barber is an internationally renowned political theorist, author, scholar. He's a distinguished senior fellow at DEMOS, a national nonpartisan public policy organization in New York, and a distinguished university professor at the University of Maryland. Good afternoon, Ben. How you doing?
Nice to talk to you, Coy.
Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Pleasure.
So this is a big, beautiful book. What is this book about? When somebody's walking through the bookstore and they see this and this big, big word consumed jumps out at them, what in broad strokes, just to begin, what is the general thesis?
Well, let me start by saying I think I'm saying something that we all know, every mom, every dad, every customer, every shopper in America and maybe around the Western world now knows, which is that we live in an age of consumerism, of conspicuous consumption, of commercialism, shopaholism, shopping and advertising and marketing kind of are everywhere, and it seems to be more and more they're downsizing it to our kids and our toddlers and all the way down to little baby Einsteins. And so the question is, what's happening? Why has a capitalist system that has been so good at producing goods suddenly become not about production but all about consumerism, and what's that doing? And my hypothesis here is that actually capitalism is in fairly deep trouble right now. And let me tell you why, because capitalism starts with a very simple and powerful premise, and that's the premise that if you can produce goods that meet the real needs of real people, you can also make a profit on it. And that's a great synergy because it means, you know, it kind of ties selfishness and altruism together. You make a profit by actually meeting real needs. And historically, that's what capitalism has always done. It's gone out, figured out what people need, produce the things people need, and then everybody makes a profit. Everybody comes out looking good. But in the last 30, 40, or 50 years, a real dilemma has developed for modern capitalism, and that is that the people with the needs, most around the third world, billions and billions of people, don't really have any money, don't have any capital, don't have any wealth, and so can't be customers and consumers in the marketplace, whereas those with the wealth in the U.S. and Europe and Japan really don't have any more core needs of the kind that once produced a productivist and prosperous capitalism. The result is you've got an awful lot of goods chasing fewer and fewer needs in the Western world, and that means that capitalism has undergone a fundamental and dangerous change. Instead of producing goods to meet real needs, it's gotten into the business of manufacturing needs so it can sell all the goods that it's producing. And that's had a really pernicious effect on sort of creating a consumerism and commercialism that takes over our lives, takes over childhood, dumbs down shoppers, turns little kids into shoppers, and creates a pervasively materialist consumer society that most of us, neither consumers nor producers, are very happy with.
Dr. Benjamin Barber is our guest, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. His new book is Consumed. You talk in the book about the infantilizing or the infantilization of adults. Explain this to us, this idea that as adults in this type of very not citizen-influenced society, but consumer-dominated society, that we are encouraged to... you're going to have to explain it because I don't know how to explain it, but to be like infants.
You're putting it just in the right way because here's the deal. Traditionally, in old-fashioned capitalism from the 15th to the 20th century, it was hooked up with a kind of mood and ethos of what we used to call the Protestant ethos, which is to say all of our moral virtues were coupled, linked to capitalism. So capitalism needed people to work hard and save, and Protestantism said saving and deferred gratification is good, hard work is good, altruism is good, doing for others is good. So we had a system in which the kind of ethos, the moral and ethical ethos of the times, was nicely linked to the kinds of behaviors that capitalism needed. Trouble is today, capitalism doesn't want us to save, it wants us to spend. Doesn't want us to work, wants us to play. Doesn't want us to defer gratification, it wants us to look for instant gratification now. So to do that, we've gotten a kind of what I'm calling an ethos, not a Protestant ethos, but an ethos of infantilization, an ethos of dumbing down adults and turning kids into consumers, so that more and more we have a marketplace that's selling kids' goods throughout the world and turning adults into kids. You can see that when you look at, say, the top four or five movies every year for the last 10 or 12 years. 2004, the top four movies were Shrek 2, Spider-Man 2, Harry Potter, and The Incredibles. Now, that's fine for kids, but those were the top grossing movies in the entire world, all tickets sold to adults, to old people, to everybody, which means basically the world is watching teenage movies. That's a problem.
You talk in the book as well about this triumph of consumerism, and it feeds in, it dovetails with this discussion of capitalism versus democracy. Can you flesh this out for us?
Well, yeah, and here's the point. Why has this happened? Why has capitalism kind of run off the tracks here? Why is it, you know, into instant gratification and infantilizing adults and turning our 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds into baby Einsteins who go shopping in the mall? You know, why is it doing all this? And I would say the reason it's begun to happen this way is that capitalism has always worked best when it's hooked up to democracy, so that you have a democratic political system hooked up with a market economic system. And those two things put together, you know, have produced an incredibly productive and free and democratic society that knows how to produce wealth and social justice. But in the last 30 or 40 years, we've lived through times where basically we've disempowered ourselves. We said the state, the government, that's part of the problem. We got to privatize everything. We got to get government out of our lives. We have to get democracy out of our lives. Let the market do it all. And the market can no more do it all than the state once upon a time could do it all. They need to work together. But instead, we're trying to make the market do it all by itself. And when you do that, all of these market contradictions I'm talking about come into play, and you create a world that nobody really wants. See, that's the thing about this consumer world. It creates a world out there of endless advertising, endless marketing, endless commercial television, commercial internet, and so on, that in fact, if we got together and said, what kind of a world do we want to live in, we want to raise our kids in, most people would say, we don't want to do that. But the logic of the market right now is pushing us that way because we no longer act as citizens through our democratic institutions to make the sorts of public choices that shape public lives of the kind we really want.
My guest is Benjamin Barber, online at benjaminbarber.com. His blog, Strong Democracy, you can find it there. And his new book is Consumed. You know, Ben, both Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln wrote about their concern that that the business, the marketplace, what Jefferson called the stock jobbers, this corporate ethos, this corporate this world would take over our society and would come to you would see gains at first, of course, but then in the end it would be bad for democracy. Are we seeing that?
Well, yeah, they were prophets, weren't they? I mean, that's exactly what's happening, and it's happening in the worst possible way, because it's happening in a way that's creating what I call in the book a kind of consumer totalitarianism. I know that's strong language, but you know, let me remind your listeners, if you go to a radical Islamicist country and you see religious Islamic slogans everywhere, and all the signage and all the television is about nothing but radical Islam, fundamentalist Islam, we call that a theocracy, and we say it leaves no room for diversity and freedom. And in the old days, if you went to the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany, or go to China today, you see signage everywhere that's talking about the party and the state and how Mao Zedong or Stalin or whoever is going to fix everything, and we call that totalitarianism because the state politics dominated everything. But today we live in a world where commerce and consumerism and the mall and advertising and market dominate everything, and we call that liberty. And I don't, you know, when any one sector of our life comes to dominate everything else, we lose our diversity, we lose our pluralism. I mean, we human beings are creatures that like to play and pray and, yes, shop and create and love and look at things and, you know, have diversified pluralistic lives. But increasingly, we live in a single monotone homogenous society dominated by consumerism, commerce, the mall, and the multiplex.
Ben, here we are on the fourth anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. And it raises this point to something you write in the book about brand America and selling the brand overseas. And that dovetails with what you were just talking about, with this whole idea that how we define liberty and freedom, which is very normal to us, someone else may define freedom differently.
Well, yeah, that's just right, Coy. But moreover, we ourselves have sort of lost sight of the real meaning of liberty. I'll give you an example. You know, we think liberty is the ability to make private choices, to choose, for example, between 200 different kinds of car. But we've given up the real freedom, which is not the freedom to choose one kind of car or other, but the freedom to choose a good public transportation system. But that's a public choice. No matter which car you choose, you can't will into the world a public transportation system. You can only do that through common choosing, through democratic institutions. Same thing with ecology. We can't save the planet from global warming one by one. We have to make big public decisions together and work together to do that. But we've surrendered our democratic institutions. We've disempowered ourselves. And the consequence is we increasingly live in a world we don't like, we didn't want, but is the result of private choices that have all these unexpected public consequences that we're not happy with.
And in the State Department, to continue this idea of selling the American brand, the State Department has a Department of Public Diplomacy and Public Affairs now being run, I believe, by Karen Hughes, formerly the Bush administration, promoting brand USA.
Well, you're right. And what's happened, of course, is when you create a world of consumerism and a world of commerce, increasingly even human identity, national identity gets branded. So not only are nations getting branded and selling themselves like they're a brand, and as you say, we've got a Department of Public Diplomacy that goes around the world selling America as if it was the brand Coca-Cola or the brand Nike or the brand Starbucks, but we also have individuals who increasingly define themselves as a Nike kind of person by the shoes they wear, the teams they root for, the kind of television set they have. They literally people who define themselves by the car that they drive. And if you look at advertising nowadays, advertising doesn't even advertise the goods anymore. It's associated with what the marketers call emotional resonance, emotional linkages. It's trying to get you to feel like you are the brand. I saw a story recently about a guy who uses Head and Shoulders out of brand loyalty. That's nice. The only trouble is the guy's bald. He just can't have dandruff because he's bald, but he goes on using Head and Shoulders out of brand loyalty, and the marketers for Head and Shoulders said, that's great, that's what we want. We want people who are in so love with our brand, they don't even need to use it in order to go on buying it. Well, a capitalism in which people are spending their money buying things they don't need in a world where people have desperate real needs around the world is a capitalism that's really gone off the tracks.
And Benjamin Barber is our guest. His new book is Consumed. He's online at Benjamin Barber, BARBER.com. Ben, look into your crystal ball for us and tell us, I mean, obviously, you know, here in Charlottesville, we think about Thomas Jefferson all the time. And clearly, from a Jeffersonian perspective, this is cause of great concern and great worry about the health of our democracy. But what do you see? What does it mean? Is there hope? What should we be doing? What should we be thinking about here as we raise our children in this world?
There's a two-step way to begin to take back our, you know, public life. First of all, it's to put capitalism back on track, but to do that, we're going to need our democratic and our public institutions. We can't do that, you know, acting simply as consumers. Consumers aren't citizens. Citizens are people who make public choices together. We've got to redirect capitalism towards its real end, which is meeting the real needs. It's not like there aren't real needs all over the world. I mean, now, let me give you a couple of kind of crazy examples. Capitalism today bottles water in the United States, where in fact everybody can just get clean water from their public water systems, from their wells and aquifers, from the reservoirs. But we sell billions in bottled water. But in the third world, people don't have potable water. They don't have water even clean enough to wash their clothes in, let alone for their children to drink. So here we are selling water to people who have all the water they need, selling it in bottles, whereas in the third world, there is no water. Here we are in the United States selling Botox to old people who want to look young, while in the third world, people who desperately need retroviral drugs to deal with AIDS can't afford to buy them. Here we are in the first world worrying about 60 thread count sheets, you know, soft, 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 softer than ever sheets that nobody really needs, where in the third world, mosquito nets on the beds would save millions of young lives. You know, so we've got this real disjunction between the real needs of people that capitalism could serve and the phony, trumped-up, manufactured needs of our society, and we've got to get capitalism back on track, and to do that, we need government, once again, our government, our democracy, to begin to play an active role.
This can be dangerous talk for some conservatives out there who if you criticize capitalism, but if I hear you right, you're criticizing a certain brand, a certain species of capitalism that we have devolved into.
I'm not criticizing capitalism at all. I started out by saying, and I still say, it's the most productive most efficient system of economic production in the world. But I said it's run off the tracks, and it's run off the tracks because it's no longer working in synergy with our democratic institutions. And instead of meeting real needs by producing real goods for people with real needs, it's manufacturing needs for people who don't really have any anymore to sell all the goods. And that's not, nobody wants that kind of capitalism, because that's a capitalism that in the long term is going to self-destruct. It's not just democracy that goes under, capitalism goes under. I want to save capitalism. I don't want to badmouth it, but for it to work, it's got to start meeting real needs and stop manufacturing phony needs to sell to people who have none. It's got to stop selling to little children in America who ought to be left to play and be creative and so on, and start dealing with the real needs of children in the third world.
What do you say to the idea that, well, you know, I make bottled water, I'm just going where the money is. Those little kids have parents with deep pockets, but if I was going into the third world, there's not that much money there for me to get, so I'm going to market.
That's not what capitalism was about. In the 15th and 16th century, when it started out, nobody had much money, and that's why they said you have to defer your gratification, you have to put up your profit, you have to invest, you have to work hard, and so on. We need a capitalism that works for the third world, where you put off taking the profits, where you get people working again. That's why I write about Mr. Yunus, the guy in the Grameen Bank out there in Bangladesh, who started this idea of microcredit. Let's try to turn people in the third world into small business people and entrepreneurs and consumers. Give them the wherewithal to become consumers. But to do that, the profit takers have to, you know, put off taking their profits for a while. They have to defer their gratification for a while. That's the way capitalism became a great and prospering and productive system for the West, but we're not allowing that to do it for the third world, because we're, you know, everybody's worried about the quarterly profit sheets and making a buck tomorrow. And in the long run, they're going to not only serve the real needs of the world, but they're going to doom capitalism, because you can't keep on forever selling to people who don't have real needs. And already we're seeing a revolt. And in the last 10 years, for example, the average time spent in the mall has gone down from about 2 hours and 20 minutes to about an hour and 40 minutes, because people are getting sick of spending their whole life in the mall. People like to do other things. They want to go to church. They want to go to mosque. They want to go to the park and play. They want to play with their kids. They want to sit and read. They don't want to shop all the time. Yet we live in a society where even the president, after 9/11, remember, he said, go shopping. That's what you got to do. Right. The president went to China last month and said to the Chinese, you're saving too much. You got to spend, 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 consume, consume, consume. The USA has a negative saving rate. We're saving below zero, you know, which means we're spending more than we have. And in the long run, that's a recipe for market disaster. So this is an economic, I'm a critic of capitalism from an economic market point of view, because I want the thing to work.
Benjamin Barber is an internationally renowned political theorist, author, and scholar. He's online at benjaminbarber.com. That's where you can find his blog, Strong Democracy. And his new book is Consumed: How Markets Corrupt Children, Infantilize Adults, and Swallow Citizens Whole. Thank you so much, Ben.
Great talking to you, Coy.
Take care.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.